Good morning, podcast audience. This is your guy, Kenny Hodge, and welcome to the last episode of the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Now, I emphasize the last episode of this podcast because the next time you hear this voice, it will be on the Kenny Hodge Podcast. I'm simply dropping Postal out of the name of the podcast because I'm going to expand the areas. And trust me, postal information and military information are my two specialties. So I'm not going to drift far from it. But by changing the name, it allows me to expand what my podcast audience can expect to hear. On the last Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast for today, I'm going to talk about two subjects. And I'm going to talk about them in generalities, but I hope and understand you grasp the meaning. The two subjects I want to talk about today is postal management and postal union. Both I've been a player in. I've been a part of. Let's talk postal management as it relates or lends itself to union activity. Postal employees, you have to know this better than you know this. Postal management don't give a damn about your union contract. Postal management don't give a damn about your union contract. What they measure and look to see is if unions are going to be aggressive as they address non-compliant issues. And I'm talking worldwide. There is the attitude that they're not going to be aggressive. So postal management, don't spend any time learning your contract. Postal management is geared on one thing: trying to do a leadership job that in their eyesight, your contract doesn't matter. If there's something that they think makes common sense, but it's a contractual violation, they're going to do it because they're relatively certain you're not going to complain. When you look at the training of postal management, and yes, I was a trainer, so I can speak to you from what I know. There is no section in any supervisor or managerial training that involves union contracts. And I'm here to tell you, that vital piece missing from all postal management training says they set themselves up for failures because, let me tell you, I don't care what type of leader you are. If you are not well-read or well-versed in all of the postal contracts, it is almost impossible for you to move mail efficiently. Now, you'll be able to move it because you're going to continue to violate the contract. But if you run upon that group of union personnel that says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, you're not going to continue violating my contract, then you will slow postal management down from violating your contract. Look at all the money postal management allocates to labor issues. And labor issues result from postal management agreeing to do a thing for the unions and at some point deciding, well, we're not going to do that thing anymore, and I dare the unions to challenge it. That's a position postal management takes. So they spend a huge amount of money arguing, arbitrating decisions that they already agreed to at the national level, but they will not follow at the local level. That's my take on postal management. There was a time when if you became a 204B or you went into management, understand this, you were an employee long enough to be well-versed in your particular contract. So when those individuals got promoted, they brought with them an understanding of union contracts. Now, it doesn't mean they made sure they stayed in compliance, but they had that knowledge. Today's postal employee, you come in the door as a PSC, MHA, and it's possible you might be a 204B before you're off probation. So the only reason I mention that, because I am in favor of the 204B program, make no bones about that. But the only thing about that is when you bring the new people in who haven't really learned their job, never really read a contract, now you're promoting more postal management that, again, that does not even have a clue about your contract. Most postal managers are educated on your contract because they mess it up and then you have to file grievances to get it fixed. That's postal management's way of learning your contract. And if you are a union member or a union body that's not dedicated or the tenacious mindset that postal management, oh, you're going to follow our contract or you're going to pay the price, until postal management is introduced to that type of aggressive union leadership, you're going to continue to see the violations that you see now. And I say again, as I begin to transition off postal management into the postal union, postal management lives on the fact of this. I can violate all your contracts to the tune of, I don't know, let's just say for a good figure, $1 million. Because with that violation, because the actual $1 million settlement, and you hear me say this quite often, was probably $5 million. But our union personnel are so happy to say to the membership, I got you something. Not I got you what you deserve. I got you something. They had violated our contract to the tune of $5 million. But hey, members, I got you $1 million. And we're happy because you never look into what you should have had. You just become happy about what you had. And I'm telling you, that's a weak mindset. That's a mindset that's not going to benefit the mail handler or the clerk or the carrier in the long run. It's going to continue to benefit your unions. You hear what I'm saying? But it's not going to continue to benefit you. Let's flip that coin over and move from postal management into the labor unions in the post office. Now, I got to tell you, I believe there's hope. And this is one of the reasons I campaigned so hard to try to add to that hope. But I want to say this to you, and it's a bit of sour grapes on my part, but everybody knows my podcast is my opinion. For my last 18, 19 years, the unions that I've been affiliated with will be the National Postal Mail Handler Union. And I want to say, while the national level of our mail handlers, and I'm talking mail handler union right now, I'm going to bring this back to all unions, seems to be pretty locked in to doing a good thing for the memberships. I got to tell you, they can be so complacent at times that they will send the message to you at times that they don't care what your local does. And if you think that I'm making this up because of my own situations I've had with the union, ask yourself, what has your national done for you? Look at the money you pay your national union labor every month. What are you getting in return for it? You know what you get in return from your national? You get in return from your national rhetoric that we increased your wages. Without the union, your wage increases wouldn't be where they are. And I can't disagree, but how does the song go? What have you done for me lately? Now, I got to tell you something here. I've had a pretty good time, a pretty favorable time dealing with the national union at the mail handler level. But I want to say to Paul Harrogan and the rest of the members on the executive side of the house, you got that last situation with the election in 304, you got that wrong. You sat back and you allowed shenanigans to take place during that election that should not happen. And all it would have taken was a voice from the national saying, cut that nonsense out. But what national did, again, in this case, you sat back and all you said to me was, well, you got to wait on the post-election appeal process. See, some of that could have been handled by a phone call from the national president. But my understanding on postal unions, again, particularly on the mail handler side, is even at the national, they allow the locals to run without any kind of in-depth checks and balance based on they're still getting that union check out of your pay every month.
Good day, Brother Rodney Washington. Hope this day finds you well.
You see, I have a major problem with that, but I want you to know the national. Oh, and let me just put a sidebar in. Local 304 in the National Postal Mailman Union, Kenny Hodge is not done negotiating with you. I'm going to leave it right there, but I'm sure you know there's some more business that we're going to resolve. You tell me if there is suspicious or bad conduct during an election, you would address it. But I'm here to tell you, the national office backs the local office without any documentation. That's blind leadership. I guess they think that the local presidents got it all under control and there's no need for them to interfere. And I'm going to say nothing could be further from the truth. A active national office will put in check some of these local offices and make them do better and make them be in compliance with what should take place. But I want to say to you, I don't get that understanding or that feeling from our national office. Now, let's get back to all unions in general. How many of you feel that you pay dues pretty much for nothing? You know, you get a contract that's been ratified on the mail handlers, the APWU, but how many of you feel that those contracts accurately represent what you do today? How many of you feel that what your union assists you with is worth the money that you pay them? And I'll be the first to say, I don't think that what we get from our unions are close to what we pay for, but I am a union person. Therefore, I make the conscious decision to continue to pay union dues, and I already know you're not giving me anything back, but I've wasted thousands of dollars on other business ventures. So in my mind, and this is a personal decision for me, I'm going to be a union member, but I'm going to be one of those members who already know I can't go to my union for shit because their level of understanding and tenacity don't even begin to match up to what I think the members need. But again, I'll always be a union member no matter where I am. If there's a union, I will always try to be a part of it to bring about change. But your union understands that you're going to pay your union dues. And if you get nothing in return, you're going to go off into small little groups and complain about it. That's what I think the union's attitude or the union's perception of their members are today. Again, when I look at the mail handler executive board, is it reflective of the mail handlers it represents? Now, I don't think so. And I don't think that matters to the national. Listen, I gave you my ending thoughts on what I think about postal management and, again, what I think about your unions. And I want to leave with this message to all postal employees. You're going to continue to sit back and let people who don't really understand your plight, but they understand their pockets are getting filled with your money. You're going to sit back and continue to let them lead you. And what you're going to find one day is you're going to walk into the postal service and be told, any job in here you will do. And I want to say that might not be a totally bad thing because there's strength in numbers, because if we get to that, that means we're going to have one union president. But do you think any of the mail handler, clerk, letter carriers union, do you think any of them would set aside and have one president so you have one set of rules for all postal employees? Not going to happen. But what's going to happen is through the current union's complacency, you're going to get there. And because it's important that our nationals continue to get paid, you're going to get there, and you're still going to have a mail handler president, a letter carrier president, and a clerk president. Because while they'll give up the authority to govern membership, they're not giving up the authority of those positions they have that keep their pockets full of your union dollar. This is Kenny Hodge shutting down the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, opening up the Kenny Hodge Podcast, and stand by because I'm going to keep you informed. I don't know how to do anything else. It's part of my life, post office and the military, and I like that part. Even though both are in my rearview mirror, my ability and my desire to keep you informed, that will never change. So goodbye from the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, and hello to the Kenny Hodge Podcast.